might start with Meredith and Ross. There you are. And perhaps just give us a lead up to the project in terms of how you approach the notion of collaboration. And in particular, because coming from separate practices and coming together to make a show that perhaps teases and critiques that notion of collaboration more than, you know, succumbs to it.
Sure. I think it was like, oh, we've been asked a question and someone emailed, you know, a question to respond about the body electric, and Meredith was like, oh, I'll write a little bit and then email you, and then you email me back. So we're like on the same track with what we sort of how we kind of considered this show. But yeah, so I feel like there's been like a lot of negotiation, toing and froing, and kind of careful not to stand on each other's toe a little bit, like as thinking about how it would evolve. Because I feel like there's been at times like a friction between us, sometimes in the installation of it and like working out, and which I guess, you know, it's for me is a natural part of a collaboration. Well, and especially when there's a lot, I felt like there was a lot of our personal selves invested in it.
It's funny that the friction only came with the pragmatic installation phase.
Self-portraits that we had taken off on the phone. So there's two self-portraits and a portrait that we took together with us, you know, together, and then the nudes. And yeah, I found the nudes were really quite one of the most challenging sort of parts of it to make, and then also to find a way of presenting.
It's not a variety of reasons, but I guess, you know, it's so personal and so subjective, and we found interesting, kind of obviously as well, the photographing memes was quite different to photographing lots of the movies, And the kind of, the baggage that went with photographing a female body and then photographing a male body. So that was a lot, we had a lot of discussion in the room. And we had ideas originally to photograph the landscape, and that was just too much. And moved away from that and decided to explore the something that is interior, but at the same time there is a domestic reading of that as well, which is a big kind of misunderstood.
So here you get the one collaborative work, which is actually two digital photographs side by side, their own houses.
But that was very important to us to be able to have our own artistic voice each within. And I think that was just the way that we worked out how we would collaborate on the show. We would do it in a way that didn't necessarily mean it became the one art work, but it's the supportive ways of art.
There seems to be as much about difference as there is about sort of commonality that we've got throughout the show. And I think Ross Moore refers to sort of quite a lovely metaphor of thinking about the sort of possibility and impossibility of relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that comes through not only in the works being sort of individually authored in many cases, but also in the quite differing aesthetic between you and Ross.
Mm.
And I think it's, for a fairly canny use of space, you managed to make that sort of work here somehow. But the overall response I've been getting is distinction. Coming together in unexpected ways towards the commonality has just played at that tension. I suppose the final part of that is, did that come through the theme that we were looking at of Walt Whitman's poem, or did you see some commonality in your practice?
Well, part of it did, because we were talking about a man and a woman, or representations of female body and male body, so there's already that separation, and we were using our own bodies as a starter to explore those things. So, if there already was that separation, but,
I think something that, just as a starting point, maybe the poem, but then I think something that was working was that we kind of didn't say, I felt like we didn't say, no, we can't do that, or no. There was no wasn't a part of the conversation, like, in making the work. It was, it was more about sort of possibility.
The possibility versus the impossibility.
Yeah.
The space between.
Mm. And by looking at that, that's probably the other very collaborative piece. Beautiful piece in the fireplace. I don't know if it was just one or the other amazing, but for me, I read that as a joint piece as much as the new support.
Yeah, but that's very important.
What's interesting, though, is it's so frozen. Very deliciously frozen rock is almost evil if you're watching it, but it's really as stylized as the portraits are, because they are mimicking. It's interesting to talk about the fact that the thinking that went behind actually setting those up to look like very intimate snapshots. Fashion glare and sun glare, they look very automatic, very private. But that's for the work that I like to do, what came in the fireplace. So, essentially, it goes back to that idea of collaboration. For me, in this case, it sounds like a really antiseptic word to put on your joint practice, because it feels much more intimate than that to me than just.
Negotiating with our relationship within our relationship as well, which is what makes it so interesting. You know, this negotiating with someone that you're making an art with, negotiating with someone that's your partner, lover, whatever, you know, so that's the thing. Well, I think we're probably very careful to negotiate. Yeah, it's on a specific way. Because everything is very, to me, it's hard to push. I just remember years ago she was done a documentary seeing Tony Ursler and Mike Kelly collaboration, and it was like this brilliant, everything was intermeshed. It was like one big mix of things that were both simple. Whereas this is really like a physical and we're very aware that you want to be separate people. You know, you don't want to just become mixed up like one.
No, I don't think we do, but I think that's also there because of the dramatic difference we have in approaching the way we make art. Like, for me, I'm always interested in the form and specific form relationships, line, shape, colour, tone, whatever that might be. And, I'm always wanting to formalize, which is interesting about the personal fireplace because that was kind of, we worked on it together, but at the same time, Ross said, well, we should do a seated portrait of ourselves, just looking into the camera, the piece of camera, which is this, which is that, and I said, yes, well, it should be a half our faces, and it should look a certain way. So I felt like we negotiated that, but actually brought different ideas in how it should happen to you. And that's really why. I think the work is so separate because it's a dialogue. Yeah.
Look, I don't consider it a collaboration in terms of your individual practices having been subsumed for the sake of a work.
No.
And in that, I think it teases out collaboration is quite a fashionable genre, let's say, as well as perhaps going into the also personal thematic and things like this. People are very quick to collaborate.
Very good dog.
You find that part?
I do,
you think that sometimes becomes a slightly sort of overused?
Yeah, it's a bit of a trope, isn't it? But I was just looking at the fireplace the whole time we were talking, and I actually agree with Chantal that it's a really key part of, I mean, to me it's this kind of encapsulates the work in lots of ways because it feels like a double self-portrait of a coming together and a splitting apart, the constant splitting and coming together, and this kind of, I love the tension of that work where it's got this kind of eternal state of suspension and holding it together. You know, we can hold a smile, that kind of thing, and to me that layers down formally and conceptually and emotionally, you know, and across the space. I like the way you can traverse the work and encounter different aspects of form, you know, emotion, body, you know, movement, doing all that sort of thing.
Are you able to talk about the flicker? It's something that sort of permeates to me.
Yeah.
It's not just the flicker of the projector, but I think it's got something to do with loss of energy.
That's the piece.
Well, no, that's more this piece than the light.
Well, there's a few flickering things going on.
You know, yeah. Originally, we had a fault in light in the stairwell, which Ross picked up on as had some motifs that he could use in the video on the stairwell. The light snap completely extinguished itself. Yet lived on in Ross's video.
Yeah.
And somehow that flicker seems to permeate throughout this show as something that's perhaps an emblem of some of the tensions that we need to see.
Yeah, I think quite literally the flicker is like a metaphor for something that we saw as the electric charge in the body of a tree. But also, it's a bit of a crossover in our practices because we're both interested in how the moving image is remediated or mediated. So if you're filming and replaying and filming particularly from a screen or from a computer screen, television screen, computer screen, or moving between different modes of capturing moving images. So whether you're using, you know, the little handheld to snap digital camera or your
HD camera or VHS, there is information lost in all of those processes. And that's something that we both have responded to quite intellectually as an idea, and the meme or form as an abstraction of the image. So I feel like we both kind of do that. And it's interesting that that's one of the things that we've let just kind of unfold a bit more recently in the show.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also, like as soon as that I noticed that light in the stairwell, you know, as well as being a safety hazard, I didn't think that at all, actually.
You actually can be that way as well.
But there's also that kind of, like, there's sort of, there's just that hope and that possibility and that, like, that trend, like, there's something kind of transmitting, there's a transmission already kind of, as you're
into energy or life force or, you know.
TV, in a domestic environment, the domestic kind of chair, like the DVD players, the domestic was kind of like under there as well, I think, in this, and the photo frames as well.
It's quite intriguing actually how many the audience is comfortably walk between Joe's work in the closure space and the ship, because there's something quite undomesticated or detached about the space that we created there. Yet people felt comfortable moving between the two. Yet much of the imagery here is quite domestic, and I think that there are parts here that are taken away from the domestic, and I think that there are other parts in your time that we carry the intimacy. And I guess that's what's so interesting, is that there's nothing sort of absolutely fixed in the thing that you
do. I think what also encourages that transition between the rest is the fact that Joe and Ross are, presentation, very consciously talk about the sound, because we knew from the get-go that was going to be an issue. We all kind of immediately decided that that wasn't a major concern, and actually that might be nice to be able to invite the audience to move between.
To embrace it.
And there's a little bit of a, the background to my work, there's a little bit of a neat little connection, because Ross edited a previous piece, and as a result of that, I actually consider that not a collaboration, more a discussion that happened through editing work about video culture. And that's, I think, what really is at the heart of the difference. Maybe there is that sort of unsaid connection about that, how we deal with, photographic notion in the realm of the movie. And so, ironically, as I was working towards this piece, and I had no idea at that stage, this would be a show that would be sitting alongside the other show. It was a conversation about video portrait and how you work, from a personal point of view, working from a photographic background, you take that into animating a portrait. And sort of not fighting that still background, and actually seeing how far you can push an image to the point where it's an engaging image as a still, in form of a still, and then an engaging image in the form of a video portrait. It's not necessarily doing that much more, in that kind of literal sense, but how you engage the audience with your actual film, still portrait, video portrait. So it's kind of funny, because I think that's actually kind of familiar to me. The link to what is in that kind of subject. And the body reference, the body.
There's certainly an interesting meeting point between the breath and the filter. something that's so visceral on one hand, and then on the other hand, it's something that always occurs to me as being more of a sort of a digital malfunction. or at least maybe a neurological or physical
malfunction. I think that's definitely present, and the kind of shuddering that occurs in Joe's work as well, the slight shivering of the trees and the kind of, almost falling of the body, and there's so many parallels, I think, in these two works as well. They're incredibly complementary. Presence and then absence, that kind of tension, I think, is brought through really well. And the breathing just permeates the entire space, I think, which just adds another layer to this work. It's a really clever way to get around something really prosaic like sound scale, I think.
Something so really prosaic.
Well, prosaic problem is sound spill.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of interested in terms of, with curating, we have to kind of negotiate things in a space that don't always connect, and you end up with these little kind of boring problems. But that to me is a really beautiful solution.
I was very concerned, though, because I thought that the nature of this work, it needed a certain fortification. It needed a box of silence and contemplation to this breath that would enter. And at first I didn't consider it the type of work that to cope with any type of exposure, you know, to anything outside of itself. You know, and I guess that's what when Meredith mentioned the word formality or formalism, I think of your work as being very much in the same, just sort of feeding of itself. And I'm quite surprised that it's been able to do it, and that you use the word viscosity to describe the sort of the atmosphere, I guess, that you're aiming to create. Yet there's all these leakage points, and they're physical, but they're also obviously metaphorical.
That's a lovely comparison. That happens after you take the risk of putting up the work and then seeing how it works. With the surrounding context, because you can't stand that either. You know, I think maybe it is because we're dealing with the body. I don't know, maybe it's a unified rhythmic thing. We've got a feeling of something about rhythm, and they meet because the basis is about the body.
What does it mean by metaphysics? I think about all of the work, or is it the kind of space that's been created?
Yeah, I mean, meditative is one thing that I'd like people to experience in my work at first. Yeah. And then once they sort of delve into the details, then it's about the constraints of the body or the capacity or the limitations of it. So in a sense, you know, some people said, oh, it's quite pacifying, it's quite beautiful, it's quite, you know, it's sort of quite positive. And then some people said, I actually at one point felt that sort of physical sensation. Because essentially, the breath is also sort of like, it's not as direct as the ideas of endurance that are happening in the self-portrait, but it's another level. I mean, first of all, the verse is recited with one breath only, so towards the end it gets very difficult to actually sound like pretty human being. And then the other piece, so it's sort of like a stereo sound, which one verse is breath and the other verse is about trying to create this space, which is sort of attempting to manifest an illness. And so it's about not being able to literally be able to breathe in 3, 4, 5 times in a row. So it's trying to create an airless, almost like a vacuum sort of space. Which is physically impossible, and if you do manage to get there, it's not necessarily possible. So my main aim is to kind of have this sort of use poetic devices of production, and then kind of get in there and just, you know, see whether or not you engage the viewer on various sort of aesthetic and physical limits.
I think it's hugely suffocating, it sounds that breath and one first. Well, my first connotation was that scene from The Graduate where he puts on the scuba outfit, Dustin Hoffman,
yes.
And that breath goes on and on. So I forget the character's name, but Dustin Hoffman moment. And it's a similar kind of what I feel like is saying something about the scene stuff. So I was just interested in what you were saying before about the video portrait and the still portrait, because I was looking at the still in the newspaper and then postage stamp and then also on the website, and for me there's a very different reading, because in the frozen image there is a strength in part, because you are forever bound. There is no falsehood, there is no falling. John has the tension of what's happening in that video, which is, again, another staging. That it's a staging of a moment of terror, trying to get it together. You're doing the yoga pose on a railing.
Well, there's several levels of endurance in itself in that image. As there are in still, because still I chose to create, to communicate the pose.
Yeah.
still here, because there's several cells. There are various stages on and I chose that one as a kind of introduction, you know, to the veneer, you know, to that kind of introductory image. Maybe the way I see it is sort of like an introduction to the production of kind of being meant as a kind of negative with formalism that's engaging, and then should you choose to go further, then maybe you might experience video, and then maybe from that you might experience sort of degrees of
The drawing and the gesture of your arms going upwards is the climax.
You can't get the climax. But we don't get to have your, it's not really, you know, because it's David Friedrich's mind, it's the wonder of staring out because you're staring at the camera or for the camera.
I just wanted to acquaint myself with the big stuff, in a way it's a device to engage the landscape as well, to activate the landscape by equating the view, or the view, and to activate dynamism of the landscape through the body. So that's sort of where I was
going. Or activate your body through the dynamism of the landscape. Because really, the landscape becomes a force behind you, this natural force, which is kind of a nice parallel to the, you know, you're talking about, I don't know, addressing specifically the conversation we have talked about, you know, that it is about childbirth or birthing.
That's the trigger of the stimulus. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, you know, some major that sort of come through in my work, but this work is obviously the most personal, or maybe the most, itself working with a lot of responsibility. You know, I was giving it a lot of responsibility. It's still all about kind of trying to activate the landscape via fear, so that the fear and the landscape don't have a hierarchical relationship. That's sort of been a consistent, not so much in this, but it has been a continuing kind of intention in the last few video works. And by that I mean both in the image and also in the relationship between the images and in the relationship between the images and the sound. So it's sort of various degrees that this work had that added element of sort of dealing with very specific personal approach. So it had a.
Joe, I want to know where the pain is. If I feel that it's so highly desensitized that I can't feel the pain, like it's beautiful.
I think various. I'm talking about various degrees of engagement with the work. The feedback that I got when I was sitting here was really valuable. Sitting in the gallery, some people actually got the pain. They got the pain through the sound or the image. And some people just sort of didn't quite classical or not
beautiful. Well, it is beautiful, but you know, I'm more than you know, a bit more than you experience, and I'm sure it wasn't a beautiful experience.
Well, it was in terms of what it offered me in terms of discovery. As I was saying earlier, it's sort of about three different degrees of endurance. So it's something that you're on, the balancing of that, and then the balancing of the kind of self-knowing. And what was, it exceeded my expectations to what I would discover reading and doing, and sort of the involuntary kind of modeling responses. But I guess what you're saying is that
it could be screening. It's been creepy. It could be.
I guess for me though, it's about how those aspects of endurance occur through the vibes, via
set the fire veneer, mm-hmm. you know, and wanting to uphold a particular veneer. Mm-hmm. And the paint sort of maybe coming through that.
Jane Austen in there or something where you, you know, women approaching the landscape and being and fainting and that kind of.
So romanticised. You're talking romanticised?
Yeah, possibly. But it's really, I'm like, there's something really jarring in the piece where I kind of got hung up on what you're wearing. And I think one of the first things I said to you was about that. And I wondered if you'd manipulated something, because your arm looks really, like there's something about what you're wearing that, I know, sits on top of all of that, yeah. Can you talk a bit more about that, because I'm intrigued about the way you
this one's really kind of intuitive. How, like I said, this sort of self-portrait had carried a lot of responsibility. How it's actually going to encapsulate, and symbolically carried all of that. It's really symbolically loaded for me. And I don't really look this way. I think for me, the first thing is that it's the most direct I've ever been to the camera. And ironically, it was the camera that actually kept me balanced when I focused on it not till this before. But I guess with the outfit was something like, how do you, in a way, it's almost like a caricature of myself. And I tried to kind of encapsulate it. You know, how I want to see myself, how I do see myself, how I love to see myself. You know, sort of rolling back kind of emotions. And it's something that, you know, seeing yourself and being the author of, or having that authorship on the image of yourself. You know, so there's all this sort of stuff about how you'd like to be represented, as well as to remain true to your intentions, and that is a sort of manifest particular kind of episode, which was about, you know, not being well and being seen as not being well, like being like, you didn't know, you really wouldn't know. You know, so there's all that sort of stuff, kind of carrying it, very personal stuff that, you know, sort of defies any kind of discussion, theoretically or otherwise. But I just think that, for me, it's like, that outfit actually encapsulates me. And there were some very tragic concerns as well, that I wanted it to catch the light because I wanted it, that movement to actually occur with the brain, which the light was working, and to sort of be activated, sort of be activated. And the form of it was so that it would catch the wind, should it want to. And all of the other associations that people have had about, you know, sort of 19th century, that's something that's sort of there in my work, but it's just there, I don't actually think about it anymore.
Mm.
You know, but it's also this weird science fiction like thing that you're wearing that makes you look like a stick, kind of praying mantis.
Yeah.
I'm really inspired by the sort of late 60s
early 70s sort of stuff on when you live there, and it sort of tends to be coming out in the end of the world. You know, and that's a homage to that. But,
can the work be realised without the suit or the costume?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that sort of whole idea of having something that's, you know, it's honest work, sort of really earnest, but at the same time there's aspects of the theatrical as well that are coming through that are more and more kind of, they've been in my work, but I've never dealt with it in such an overt way in my work. And I think that the costume for me is the most honest way, in all the ways to kind of represent myself in a way. I feel
like anesthetical as well.
It's a costume. But for me, it just seems to be the most truthful way. And I think also because it is about artists
and theatrics
hiding as a particular
kind of
illness, then it seems like the
main
the most
simple
way to actually communicate that.
It's just, by the way, Meredith has heard this story, but I was watching the outtakes to Spartacus, and Ustinov was going through Lawton and Olivia and Douglas, and he was talking about how Laurence Olivier had the Roman nose made. It's just this little bit that's, you know, just added on so that he could perform what was necessary to take on this character, and that when he doesn't have that element, you know, in public speaking, he's an absolute mess. You know, without the suit, he's useless. You know, he can't speak in public. Well, as soon as he puts the little bit, and then, you know, and when you look at Spartacus again, you see, oh yeah, it's just a little bit of kind of, you know, built up makeup here that makes him do what he can with the camera. You know, and I guess I'm hearing something that I recognise what you're saying very well because of the work that I make.
That's a good point. I mean, in a way, the work that I've done so far has been a lot less passive, a lot more passive. This is the least passive work, you know. In a weird way, it is about the mirror, but it is about kind of engaging with the landscape and engaging with the audience. And as I said earlier, I have to actually focus on the camera and keep my balance. That's just a big different focus on the point, but while I focus on the camera. So in a weird way, when I first envisaged the work, I envisaged myself actually with my eyes closed with the makeup on. But I couldn't do it physically. And I also thought, well, okay, this is just a constraint. I'm going to work with this constraint. And I'm just actually going to work with that sort of balance between the veneer and actually addressing the audience at the same time. So
I think. Sorry,
Mary. Yeah. I was going to say, when you're talking about your analogy about the sort of bit of prosthesis that it enables them to act. Which is interesting because you're saying that it aims to be itself, which I find weird, but you know, it's fascinating at the same time. But for me, the portrait doesn't make it do. It's actually the sounds and the other images that accompany it that allow me kind of to whatever psychological space it really wanted to create.
So the way the figure towers above the horizon is, I guess, the classic 18th century trope of figure and ground relationship in the landscape. You're not really
maintaining human dominance.
As much as you are.
You
are towering above the right line of the landscape. You've set up what's a very formally composed plane with the way the symmetry of the rain, etc. The feedback that I have got from they're almost looking for some sort of vulnerability from this figure, not from Joe, but from this type. And maybe this type is a way of representing another type, which is, you know, this notion of sort of maladaptive behaviour or some sort of psychological type. And it's really quite intriguing that you haven't really tried to expose an intimate portrayal of yourself more than you have replicated type.
Mm.
And you know, I think a lot of things about this, but I guess one of the continuing bits of feedback from people is the mirror issue. Pollution.
It's really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, when I was mining the space, I wasn't, with people engaged with me, so that's the only feedback I had. They talked to me and they saw that I was a person of work, and then they talked about the pain that they felt, and they talked about, they didn't, my impression was that they weren't disengaged.
That they're actually kind of engaged. I'm not necessarily saying they were disengaged in the work, whether they were reading something along the lines of psychological experience.
Yeah.
And I think this goes deeper than just talking about
it's not really new to me.
Particular
it's
work. I think we're talking really about representation, how we can represent something as glorious and pain and intimacy and, you know, I mean, Chantal makes the point that Meredith's body and Ross's body don't actually contact.
There is
something about representing as a form of detachment or formula.
Yeah.
And I wonder how we're all
but that happened also for, well, I guess we could have chosen to photograph each other together, but the process of doing that was very important that Ross took the photo of me and I took the photo of Ross. It was our interpretation and our understanding of each other's choice. We were controlling the representation of each other's experience.
Mm-hmm. In the taking of the picture, but then the selection was,
yeah,
was more up to the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I find like more of me I show, the less of me I'm showing. And like when it comes to representation, and sometimes.
Yeah. So it's because these images that we're looking at, these still lives of ballistic objects, are perfect examples.
Yeah.
How can we possibly represent this type of domestic intimacy or shared life?
Yeah, which is again comes back to the problem. It's like, how can you possibly represent the body in all of the kind of the, I guess there's an element of in written and writing that it's about the uncomprehensible nature of the human body, the variable of the human body.
Mm. Yeah, but then, like, you know, he's talking about the man toiling in the field and his muscles wiggling on his back, you know? And I kind of, like, wanted to just, like, to move, like, to disappear that body and that kind of... You know, I'm talking about, like, the digital realm. Like, all the works, every work here is, like, it's been reduced to ones and zeros as well. Every kind of thing is. From the, I'd say, that reproduction of the chair has been to ones and zeros, you know? Yeah, so there's like
another form of distancing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And degradation.
Yeah.
By representation.
And also, Joe, with like, you know, this truth element, like getting closer to the truth and yet at the same time getting further away from it at the same time.
Yeah, well, Ross and I had a really good chat a couple of weeks ago in another opening, and something that I wrote about last night in my sketchbook for my journal, because he was saying, you know, well, initially I intended to edit it so that there was this sort of perpetual sense of never showing my form. So it was going backwards and forwards. Because it was so simple, it was easy to kind of fool the audience into not knowing that it was going backwards and forwards. And so Ross said, why did you do that? Why did you choose to do that? And I said, well, at the end of the day, I just wanted to be more kind of weird now, I think about it, I wanted to be more honest. When I thought about it later, he said, well, there's no point in being honest, really, it's video, you know? You've kind of, you've got this sort of theatre, and there's sort of these degrees of removal and detachment. I thought about it later, and I guess I wanted the process to, the integrity of the process to come through in terms of the constraints of the body and the limitations that I set myself. And that's probably more than anything. But it's been really interesting hearing the sort of variant of on whether or not the devices of the theatrical devices, you know, I guess we all have to use to a degree. I guess in my work, maybe to a greater degree, you know, as a theatre artist and whether or not that's a device to actually, engage the audience or to repel them or move them away. You know, your intentions are well-meaning, but you know, it's sort of like, well, I guess you can't really sort of, I can't articulate it, but put into words, like you can't really kind of predict how various people actually have sort of respond to these aesthetic triggers and what level of engagement that those triggers actually go to.
How important is that to you to get those triggers to activate?
I'd say in this particular piece, quite important for the audience to actually get a sensation. It's more a transmitting sensation, not the detail of sort of the autobiographical references or autobiographical basis to it. That it's about sensation. So it's not necessarily that image in itself, but it's about the accumulation, sort of the environment that you set up and how those elements actually contribute to an overall sensation. I'm trying to transfer that sensation of airlessness and pain and, really kind of the basic physical responses, really. That's what my intention was.
I think the use of humour, particularly in Ross's work, is Ross Moore and I were talking about the word droll in relation to this work in particular. And Paul Levy's use of this work as well. If there's something about going from that into the enclosure space, I think many people were wanting something like frailness in the midst of the landscape, or the stricture that the Bergman was, characters in there, not the performer, but the, I guess the representation of some kind of authentic vulnerability. And I won't give it.
I think to go back to what Janina was saying about performance and stylization, I do recognise, I do understand what you're saying in terms of you see that costume as being new, and I can see the glam rock reference, which I feel is very new.
The what reference?
Glam rock.
Yeah.
Well, we've been that new. It might be hard for me to know how I feel about both of these positions, but I didn't know the artist. And the reading that I would have, I think she's a chronicle, probably a stranger.
That can be arranged.
Well, I think Ross and Meredith had the benefit of componentry. There's a lot of components in their show, and you can sort of build relationships between all these images and the objects, the way that they're presented in the space as well. And, if Joe has got this sort of non-hierarchy of duality set up with the two images there. And I wonder how you feel about that now. I mean, we did have a discussion earlier on about changing scale between the two images. I think the fact that those images, there's a sort of anxiousness almost for them to be read the same way. I'm not sure if that's possible, but they can be read the same way.
I don't know that matters.
Okay.
Well, I feel like for me the sound is prime. But the sound is primary. Yeah. And that's what dictated how I feel about it, whether one or the other is in front.
How do you feel about the image of the rear and how it's affected?
Oh, I really enjoy the image of the rear. Because it's gentle. And actually there's a stiffness about what Joe's doing. Hardness about what she's doing in the portrait, which I feel like it is important at that point. And perhaps that's where, I don't really agree with any idea of the objective truth or the authenticity of that moment, but if there is one, then that's where it lies. That hardness is the first thing that you're encountering, it's not so intentional.
Mm.
And then there's kind of the soft feel that addresses the psychological landscape or meal. It's just better than you encounter that one later. And it's not much later, it's these days.
Oh, no, I mean, well, Meredith and I are sort of talking, and I think I actually asked Meredith tonight as well to talk, because when we were setting up the night before the show, she just nailed it, just in terms of my intentions and what I intended and her response to it, which is bang, 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 bang. And so it's a great reading of the work in terms of what I intended.
I was wondering if, and just going back to what Adrian was saying, and it was really interesting to know what people said to you about the work and what people said to Adrian.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it feels like a real parallel in terms of what you were talking about emotionally there. Like people say one thing to you and another thing to Adrian. You know, it's that weird duality.
That's the nature of people. I'm sorry about
Yeah,
because I led the conversation.
But that kind of got me thinking about what would you do in terms of presenting the work? How far would you go? Like, would you perform the work as a performance, or would you project the work so that your body is as, you know, in correspondence to the viewer, or, you know, how
I think there actually are questions that have been asked since the show has gone up, and I'm just trying to think about it in the space. I would like that more sort of one-on-one scale relationship. I did that with previous work, but used myself not as directly, but I played with that. You know, there's also the different, because the mechanisms of the projection and the mechanisms of viewing through the screen, frame, screen, and all that sort of stuff as well. I went to a school leadership talk on the weekend at Parliament lecture, and he talked about sort of seeing nature through a sort of this frame device as opposed to being in nature, but he argued that when we get into the landscape or into space, generally view it via the frame device. It made me think about what I was actually sort of perpetuating, is sort of having these kind of stark black frames around the work as well. So I have been thinking about sort of various modes of presenting the work. It's not necessarily, I mean, this, the essence of this is about sort of, you know, I guess wanting to get the viewer to engage with the work. My intention is in a very sort of basic level, that is set in a sensorial sort of way, as opposed to sort of all those other levels, or before all those other levels kind of start happening, with sexual and sexual and then intellectual and all that. You know, so that's sort of over my overall attention is about the sensation.
It's funny because I have no desire to see Joe perform that work at all. But however, I'd love to see it projected one-to-one scale and be fully immersed in it.
Yeah.
That's the sensation that I get about it now.
Yeah.
And I reckon that would be really. I'm going that direction, following in that path.
It's so contained in the
control is a definite kind of conscious
element of being as well. For me, an aspect of myself. It's like, how far do you take a self-portrait? Do you take it into the realm of the information as well? You know, this is what I've been thinking about, you know, how it becomes a physical manifestation of artists. And whether or not that's something that
becomes
a self-portrait, though. I feel like that's a part of it.
There
is. Because essentially it is about attempting to manifest qualities
or sensations
of
the moment.
That's essentially.
But
that's
really
the
label. Yeah, and you use the word annual, like more of it. Okay. There's an interesting difference there.
Sure.
In the, I tend to very, very funny.
Well, it's a label, I guess, mm-hmm.
As much as the body electric is a portrait of relationships, as much as it is a self-portrait situation.
Yeah.
So, I guess it's balancing.
Yeah, I know. It's been a really big theme throughout the show. It's been great, actually, in terms of the discussions and the.
So, how do you think feel now at the end of this? And is this something that could happen again in the future? Is that this sort of collaboration?
I don't like saying no.
But it is funny that you said it because. One of the first things that we talked about after we put the show up was that, wow, we really need to concentrate on our own individual practices for a little while now, don't we?
I was inspired to make work as we spoke, because I feel like my stuff sort of came together in quite a slow manner, and sometimes I like a big hit when you're sort of like making work, it's just like, whoa, and then, but this was kind of like little small bits and pieces.
Yeah, but I feel also that was kind of like us responding and saying, we don't want to be defined as collaborators, and we need to be made.
I don't think that's not how we're really, there's too much cross-pollination going on. In the sense that I get in the conversation.
In other words, that you may change your response.
Yeah, I feel like, there's a distinct identity.
How do you feel working spatially? Large space, working different components, coming together. I mean, there's a shift between where you want to operate in space compared to, say, this or this. You seem very confident coming in here.
Well, that was really the first opportunity I've had to work in space, I very much enjoyed, and work at scale, at scale usually for me means, in millimetres. So it's been quite great to realise something that's large scale, sculptural object, and it's really kind of apparatus, which is what I've been wanting to do for a long time. So, it felt like. And, I really think Ross is already quite accomplished at installing work spatially. I think that he's had a lot of practice out to
It was great having Kay Lee on that Tuesday night, and just to sort of break it open a little bit, because we felt like being sort of too tight and nothing could kind of change. And just getting that moment to see like open up the possibilities and almost, it's funny because I felt like we're getting too kind of rigid and
static. Which is more about the way I operate than the way you operate, perhaps. But originally, with the exception of the screen, I felt very strongly that they should go basically where they are now. And I wasn't very flexible about that. But I just read the space in that way and thought that's where they should go. But the rest of it, we really did try in a whole variety of different places.
That was the great thing about it, sorry.
Oh, it's just like the presence of
That was a great thing about installation time here, to have the amount of time to sort of, the screens were made here, so we're kind of like contemplating, you know, like being in the space, to have such a leading to install, it's like, it's kind of great to sort of
which
take
created a bit of tension as well, because I was working quite slowly, and I think that was hard because we didn't feel that we could position the rest until we positioned the largest work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I could only go at the pace that I was going at, so it was much more hard. We used every bit of that time.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. It's great to be able to have that time.
I think it's proved to be very important, not always in terms of physical installation time, but you want to go away and come back a day later and it's a huge
deal. Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that everybody says in Shanghai, because it has its own identity, this place. You know, even whether you have windows or covered windows, you know, there are so many elements, unlike, you know, the big air gallery, that in the architecture itself, that you have to deal with, and you need the time to deal with it. It's not in the last few years. It's a birth, like a form
The local arts thing is pretty good too, that you can come back to it because it isn't far away. You know, that you can drop in and I want to make an alteration on the Sunday and, you know, bang all the lights on and just get it done and have a look at it and then, you know, move on to have it prepared for the next thing.
Yeah. And I feel like that could really be the next stage, that we've only really gone so far in that term. But for example, your work is doing now, the big day that it changes almost every day, you make it something different every time, and I'm thinking that would be the main starting thing to be able to do with what we're doing in a project like this, because it is in some ways, for me it's static now, well I'd love to see it really changing, how do you make that happen? And that would be pretty exciting.
You make it happen in your life.
Yeah, but how do you do that? Like, if we did this again, would we do it like this, or would we create an exhibition and say, I want to embrace something that they think doesn't look practical? I want to move those things. We just want to floor it here. We want to invert the, you know, the white screen. You know, that would be.
How does the flicker become the revolving stroke? All right, well, I think since everyone, we probably should start wrapping up. Maybe we'll close out now and have a drink. Any further comments?
I have to say that I came to the opening and I really didn't see much of it, so I haven't actually.
I feel very distant from the shows as well because of the projects I'm working on as well. It's great hearing you speak about it. It's just been really listening to the way that you've been representing what you've been up to with these works, and it's quite clear that you're.
Joe's worked for a long time.
Yep.
And I was working on my supervisor many, many years ago. And so I know that she has got this overpowering desire to aestheticize things. And she's bold. And yeah, and she's always had it. And so. That's why I just feel like I almost want to push you over and say, well, come on, you don't have to be so controlled all the time. You can change.
That's a bit of a truth.
Well, it is, actually. It is. I mean, she's vouching for it. But to me, I still feel like you can't allow yourself, you know, you always have to have a costume or a mask. Yeah, anyway. It's great to see you do it. So it's very important to keep on doing it.
Do you have any final
comments? I'll check that I'm 300
minutes.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my pleasure.